to Infendo Radio, the best Nintendo podcast on the English-speaking internet. This is episode 346. I'm your host, Lewis Pugh, and joining me tonight is Harrison Milfeld.
What's going on, everybody?
And like the last episode, we have another two-man show, but this time it's me and Harrison, opposed to me and Colin.
Colin was just too blasted away with the news of last week, since we have, bit of big news last week.
A little bit of big news. And that's exactly what today's show is all going to be about. We're going to have a single segment, full feature, all around the big news. And so let's jump straight into it. Right at the top of the page here then, Nintendo has confirmed they are forming a strategic partnership with another Japanese company called DNA, spelled D-E-N-A.
Clever.
Exactly, yeah. To create smartphone games. And so this is something Nintendo has been kind of denying that they would ever do for quite some time now. But they've officially confirmed their plans that they will be developing smartphone games with their IP. And DNA are going to be providing kind of a back-end network framework, which they already do for their own apps and apps that they publish on other companies' behalfs. And so this is pretty huge news.
It caught me a little bit off. Well, it caught me totally off guard because I just remember the day when the news was announced. I mean, there was no signal that something big was going to happen. And I woke up like, I think it was like earlier than normal. I think it was like I woke up at 6 o'clock in the morning and I was just like, well, I can't go back to bed. And I checked my phone and news and everybody just started talking about this. And I just felt like a bomb went off in a quiet room. And reading through it, I was thinking like, oh no, they've officially ditched hardware right now. But luckily, I mean, as more news trickled out of the day, we saw something way different from this. But just the long and short of it, I was never really against the idea of them having to join this company from going into like the mobile market. I mean, yes, they have a lot of money that's saved up in their own cash grab, whatever. But obviously, with a console that has good games and good console like title to pick through, it's still struggling. But this itself is a move to actually is good from a business decision. And to clarify, you know, people were saying like, oh, Nintendo's finally going mobile. It's not going mobile in the sense of like, you know, what everybody's hoping for like, I get to play Super Mario World on my iPhone or my Android device.
That's right, yeah, because they were surprisingly detailed in some parts of this announcement, obviously very undetailed in others. One of the things they did mention was that they won't be porting existing games.
Thank goodness. There's a specific reason for, and I can understand why at first people can be a little off guard on this decision, is the fact that you always like Nintendo made titles to be made with their own software, or like on their own hardware. It's always been a philosophy for them for at least about like, well, almost decade upon decade, like decade after decade. Yet these are changing landscapes in terms of technology and business for the video game industry. But when we want to put, you know, things like games or anything on these mobile devices, people are getting off the wrong ideas. Like, no, I mean, they want to create a bit of a strategy around this. I mean, it's not just going to be simple like, oh, here's a bunch of games that we're just doing. I mean, there's more to this.
Yeah, and I think, obviously, Nintendo has been in charge of creating their own hardware. And on top of that, they've always been, you know, out of them and their third parties being the best to get the most out of that particular hardware. I think we'll see a similar thing for smartphones and tablets, because I think a lot of smartphone games today, you know, just use the touchscreen. But obviously, you know, modern smartphones, and I guess going all the way back to, say, like the original iPhones, it's not just the touchscreen they offer. They also have, like, the accelerometer, and, like, more recent models have, you know, more advanced motion detection as well. Obviously, you've got cameras, you've got Bluetooth and Wi-Fi. You've got lots of different sensors to play around with, and I think Nintendo won't shy away from that. I think they're all going to find a lot of fun in developing new games that they couldn't before on their own platforms.
Yeah, and that it opens up a new avenue for them. I mean, like I had mentioned, I mean, we're not going to see these classic titles like Virtual Console titles ported over to mobile phones just because that's not what they were built on. I mean, I cringe at the idea of seeing these classic games that companies like Capcom and Sega are porting over to mobile phones. I mean, can they do it? Yeah, they can, but it seems good on paper, but from a control standpoint, that's, you have no physical controls just with a touchscreen. It becomes quite cumbersome to do so. I mean, I said in the show many times, I saw Mega Man X on the Apple the Apple shop on there, and I was like, why would anyone want to play Mega Man X or even any Mega Man title on a touchscreen? You need physical controllers for precise movements and timing of your jumps, but I digress. What I think we're going to be seeing on this is, you know, the likes of, this is going to benefit the Pokemon name, obviously. You're going to see things like Pokemon Shuffle, Pokemon Rumble, or something like that on these mobile devices. Maybe even expand a little more into Brain Age, or heck, what we've seen with these smaller games that are being developed for the eShop, like, for instance, Box Boy, which is about to get a US and European release. Those things can also be tailor-made for, you know, like, on-the-go gaming for especially a mobile device.
That's right, and I think this, in some way, was what I was thinking that they might do with things like quality of life. I think this can be a perfect platform to, alongside kind of like this hybrid between a traditional game and like an iPhone game, but to do things like, you know, the Brain Age, even things like Wii Fit. Obviously, it won't be like how Wii Fit is on with the balance board on the Wii, but they could use it with the motion sensor, perhaps, with the pedometer. I think a lot of these kind of the games which came out of the DS and Wii era would fit quite nicely as like apps.
Yeah, these smaller, almost indie-esque titles that could see a market for on these devices.
That's right. I mean, we've seen a lot of experimental stuff from Nintendo on the eShop side, and I think we could see certain games in that vein appearing on that, like on the mobile platform soon. How they're kind of dedicating their resource, I believe they're forming a whole new team or a whole new studio to work on the mobile side of things. So it'd be interesting to see like what games come out on eShop and what games come out on mobile, and if there's any overlap there. But it is, again, we'll go back to Nintendo did say that they won't be porting games. They will be unique experiences.
They certainly need to. It does. One of conventional wisdom would say it would be the obvious idea to port these existing titles because there's certain people who don't even own these latest Nintendo products that could be like, oh wow, I remember this game. I buy this and for such of a cheap amount. Yeah, it would. But obviously, it's smarter to just not bog down the experience of just re-releasing those. I mean, I know, granted, they've been guilty of that in the past, as we've seen today, but, you know, we need to see them kind of stretch their wings a little bit more in the mobile market like this, where you have these innovative experiences. I mean, but the thing that makes me want to say about this, I mean, is Iwata kind of got a bit of flack because people were kind of going back to his past statement saying that, oh, he flip-flopped his decision. But then I think somebody was like, I forgot who it was, it brought up a quote saying that he didn't necessarily say they ruled out mobile, or, you know what I'm talking about?
I'm not sure about the reaction you're talking about specifically, but I do know Iwata has made some famous statements, or infamous ones, I should say, about like the mobile industry in general.
Well, yeah, I think they admit he was once quoted, I forgot it was either Famitsu or one time at E3, about 2 or 3 years ago, where he was asked about the idea of them going mobile, and I think he just shrugged it off. But it was last year, I believe, during their the 2014 investors meeting, and they had briefly mentioned something about like developing apps or something for mobile, like the mobile market. So
yeah, well, that brings up an interesting point actually, because previous to this, Iwata has made statements that they want to, I think his term was, leverage smartphones to get people to interact more with their consoles, or just to learn more about Nintendo, which we didn't really see anything of. Because I was expecting some sort of, like, a game-like app, and not an actual game, where you could just play around for a little bit, and, I don't know, maybe it would remind you, like, the Wii U and the 3DS are actual things that you can go out and buy in stores if you remember these classic characters and so on.
Yeah, which brings, I think, to the point is why I believe, well, is they want to create that almost, it's almost like a gateway drug to basically almost to other Nintendo title, like to Nintendo platforms is what they want to do with this. But this is the only thing I find kind of a little bit risky in terms of them getting the mobile market is, yeah, you put these smaller experiences on a mobile device that are starting either, you know, Link, Mario, Samus, Star Fox, etc. yet you put these smaller experiences, you're trying to bet on the idea of they will go out and buy these other platform titles that are on, you know, Nintendo's own consoles and their own dedicated handhelds. The thing is, like, given the minds of people who with the mobile market, I just don't see that happening for some time. It just, I don't know, you entice, like, oh, I buy this $1 game and I'm very enticeable to actually buy this next $50 or $40 experience.
Yeah, I think what may ironically backfire in Nintendo's face is that their determination to make good games. So I think if you don't own a Nintendo console or a handheld, I think you're going to get a lot of good, like, Nintendo stuff out of this. Because I don't think they're going to be putting out any rubbish, because they are developing the actual games in-house. So yeah, if you're not already inclined to go out and get a console, I think you're just going to be able to have a, like, have your cake and eat it scenario where you do get to play your Nintendo games, but you didn't have to go out and buy a Nintendo console. Admittedly, they won't be, you know, the next Zelda game or the next Mario game.
Obviously.
But exactly. But you will still be getting that Nintendo-esque gameplay in a different fashion. But yeah, it's going to be very tricky for Nintendo to genuinely entice people and then go out and buy a big physical box or another handheld, essentially, alongside your phone, if that's not something that person already does. The other thing I wanted to discuss here was, and it goes back to a statement, where I believe he referred to, like, the mobile industry being a race to the bottom in terms of pricing. And so how do we think Nintendo's actually going to price these things? Are they just going to be, like, premium-priced apps like Square Enix does with their Final Fantasy ports? Exactly, but their premium prices are, like, quite cheap compared to, like, eShop prices, or, like, you know, just, like, bang on par sort of thing. Or are they going to go down the, you know, a freemium route that they've had some experimentation in recent years on the 3DS and Wii U?
That brings up a point. It's like a game like which they experimented with, Rusty's Real Deal Baseball, is where the clever thing about that I found was I have a very huge stance against freemium apps and freemium titles, just the fact that you're paying for an experience and just to have more of that. It's just something that I feel goes against the code of ethics, it seems, of game development. But with Rusty's Real Deal Baseball, is able to kind of, yeah, you're able to haggle the price of, like, certain of these minigames or these things on here, like all these different things on this platform, and over time you're able to cap off, it seems like, at a $30 experience. Yeah, but they have to be very kind of careful with, like, terms of their pricing, because it seems very easy for them to actually price something that's like, oh, here's a simple eShop title or Nintendo developed title like Brain Age for about a dollar, like $1 or $2. Again, this comes back to, like, you know, porting titles. I mean, you don't want to get really too crazy, because we've already discussed in detail about how the pricing of the Virtual Console needs to kind of go down a bit on certain experiences.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. If they do make, like, the equivalent of a game that they would put out on, say, the 3DS eShop, and they put out on an iPhone, for example, are they going to have, like, price parity between the two? Or if it's so much cheaper on the phone, even though they're not the same game, is it going to then seem like the console's digital games are overpriced?
So I don't know. Maybe that or they're doing what they did with Mario and Donkey Kong right now, is that they have a cross-buy promotion.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. And I think we'll move on in a little bit about what DNA is actually going to be offering with their account system, because that does span beyond phones.
It does span beyond phones, but we also did, and this was kind of hidden in there, is the fact that I guess this account system we're hearing about it is confirmed that it'll be replacing Club Nintendo.
Yeah, actually, to be honest, now is as good as time as any to start discussing it. So yeah, we have, like, some details around this, but again, a lot of unanswered questions. So yeah, it is looking like it's going to be the replacement for Club Nintendo. It's going to be able to, in some form, connect to the Wii U, the 3DS, phones, tablets, and even PCs.
And
something else. We'll leave that one to a bit later.
Yeah, you already know what we're getting into.
I mean, everyone listening already knows. But yeah, the hardware announcement, essentially, which also came alongside this. So yeah, we're going to have an account system which spans multiple platforms, not just Nintendo hardware. What do we think this is actually a name of, though? What benefit is this going to have to be able to have an account that you can have linked to your phone and linked to the Wii U?
I think it's just going to be something that's been long overdue, and something I've demanded since I picked up a Wii U is a unified account system for all Nintendo products, where you're able to link your games in your console and your, so it's just tied to an account as opposed to just the device. That's where I believe it is. But as far as this new account system that's replacing Club Nintendo, there's a couple things in my mind I think they could do. One, I think they could probably take the route of what PlayStation Plus and even Xbox Live Gold have been doing the last few years, is a subscription service almost. Like, who knows, for maybe either the eShop or even the Virtual Console. Take, for instance, for the Virtual Console, is if you have a subscription service that they may do for this, like for a few bucks a month, is that you're able to play certain, or to get like certain Virtual Console titles at this price, or to have them for per month to play. That's one way I could see it.
Yeah, that's an interesting idea. It wasn't what I was thinking of, actually. So it's almost like an Amazon Prime scenario, especially when it covers a lot of stuff, a lot of the different devices, like even more so than Sony does on PSN between Vita and PS4 and PS3. So they could do sort of promotions. So yeah, if you were part of this Nintendo subscription, you could either get like discounts or free games across Wii U, 3DS, and your phone, or they could get like in-game promotions, more so on, I guess, the phone side. Whereas if you are like a premium subscriber, some items which you would have to pay for normally, you just get for free every month or something like that. What I was kind of more leaning towards, though, was this could tie into Miiverse.
Ah, go on. I think I remember hearing somebody talk about this as well, but go on.
So obviously, Miiverse is running on both Wii U and 3DS, and it's kind of like the most they've gone with some sort of service which runs across two devices at the same time. And I think, why not also add this to the phone games? And so any phone game they make will have a Miiverse
option.
Is it other universes, or are they just Miiverse page?
Miiverse page.
So you can post things on there, but you can also check out games from the other systems from any platform you're on, and you can already do that, but obviously it's just for Wii U and 3DS currently.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's a logical step to do that. And on the, like, the Club Nintendo replacement side, I think it's going to be like the Digital Deluxe promotion, but just spanning across all these, not so much the PCs. That would just be viewing information, would be my guess. But say, obviously, you buy a Wii U game, you get a certain amount of credit. You buy a 3DS game, you get a certain amount of credit. You buy a phone game, I guess you get the equivalent credit percentage-wise, but it would probably, obviously, you would have to buy a lot of mobile games to get a big benefit, unless, of course, your reward is another mobile game, which I guess that would have the same sort of effect. So it'd be cool to see that, and obviously with linked credit as well. That's not going to work on the phone, because they can't give you iTunes credit.
No, they can't. What is the conversion rate for eShop credit to iTunes credit?
Yeah.
It's the same. But,
unless they had, like, you know how on the 3DS you have Play Coins?
Yes.
So what if they had a system like that, but a system which travels beyond just the one console, and so you can get some sort of digital currency, and it's not a currency you can pay for, but you can get it as perks in one game, and then you could spend it on another. Similar how Play Coins work on the 3DS. And that could be quite cool.
It is.
So you could earn coins in a phone game and then spend them on a console game.
It's in a ways, yeah, I could see that happening. But I also could see this more than being built, like all this encompassing deal with like, you know, Nintendo DNA being something bigger, as in like, yes, a shared operating system almost. I feel like DNA is going to, I think they mentioned in the key Q&A was, I could be wrong about this, but that this could possibly be for future generations, almost like a shared operating system where they can actually, it works similar across all the platforms, like for, you know, 3DS and the Wii U, who knows. But one thing I just wanted to mention on here was that during this deal, Nintendo bought, I believe it was like a 12% stake in DNA.
I think they both bought a 10% stake of each other.
Wait, I thought it was...
not 10%. They both spent the same amount of money. I'm not sure what that figure was. But yeah, I think, yeah, it worked out equivalent of Nintendo bought 12% of DNA, and the DNA bought, like, essentially 1.2% of Nintendo, or something like that.
Hooray! But...
it's good to have numbers at hand, isn't it?
Yeah, but to finish off on mobile, I mean, obviously, is Just to run off, I mean, what do you think, I mean, to also be positive about it, but also play devil's advocate, what do you think is the, just off the top of your head, the this is good news for Nintendo, or is this a really bad thing for them to do?
Well, for Nintendo, well, that's a tricky one. In the short term, definitely good. I think they'll have, like, huge money booms that they haven't had since, maybe not quite as much, but definitely ones they haven't seen anywhere near since, like, early Wii days.
Their stock did go up for the first time, like, at its highest point in 4 years after the announcement.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of people with phones and tablets out there. And I think a lot of people are going to be paying attention when Nintendo put out their first games. I wouldn't be surprised if at least one of their first games will be a freemium model-based thing. And whatever that is, if they do it right, I reckon could make them lots of money for a long time. Because there's a lot of successful mobile companies doing this right now, and none of them have these huge characters like Mario or Link or, you know, even Pokemon, which is absolutely huge. So yeah, I think it's good for them. In the long term, though, it's tricky what sort of effect this is going to have with their consoles, especially on the handheld. I think it makes the handheld proposition a lot more harder to convince that if you generally do have good Nintendo games on your phone, despite them being very different to what you would have on the 3DS, why would you need a collection of them on your phone as well as carrying around a separate Nintendo portable? On the console side, though, if anything, I think it could help. It just raises people's awareness of Nintendo, the fact that they still make fun games, they still have fun characters, and they are, in fact, still making new stuff and new characters. I think that will help out a lot. So yeah, I think it's pretty much good all round, but maybe in the long shot future, the handheld scenario looks very different than it does today.
That's the bad thing. That's my one bad thing out of this, is that, as I had mentioned before, yeah, in long-term stakes, this, it almost feels like they're a little bit late to the party on this. I mean, but then again, they could be one of those people that find a way to keep themselves alive for the next 50 or so years. But like I had mentioned earlier, you're putting out these, if you put out these freemium titles on mobile devices, and you're hoping that this hopes to hook, you know, people who are to buy Nintendo products, that's the tricky scenario, because there's no guarantee into that.
Yeah.
And secondly, even though this is going to be making them, this could be a huge, huge money booster for them, I feel like this could, you know, I have this fear that it could take their minds off, you know, their hardware and handheld divisions. To put it, but I mean, again, more on that later. Yeah, it's that distinct fear that I just feel like they're going, the quality of their, and, you know, call them rehashes or whatever you want, whatever, but again, rehash or rehash, whatever, there's that distinct quality and charm in each of their titles that I feel like that I don't want to see get dipped lower. But as far as good, it seemed almost inevitable. It was an inevitable decision for them to actually, you know, help boost a console that's just treading water at this moment. One that, I mean, I still believe, even though I'm looking out for another next-gen console, I still probably at this moment, if you're wanting to get good titles, a Wii U is yours, but, you know, if you're expecting third-party titles, you're come to the wrong place. But, yeah, it's going to be a bumpy ride. I'll say that. It's going to be a bumpy but fun ride for where this goes. And, you know, we'll learn more about this later in the year, too. So
yeah. Also, I like how you said it was an inevitable thing, and I do agree that. I think it was only a matter of time before Nintendo had to do something like this. But I think, with that in mind, this is probably the better scenario that could have come. We know that, one, Nintendo is actually making these games, which I think thought it was going to be a strong possibility that they would be partnering up with someone, but they would just be essentially getting them to make mobile games. And I don't think that's good for anyone. So it's good that Nintendo's basically going to be making more games, because Nintendo games are good, so these are probably going to be some cool games. And so I'm going to be looking forward to playing them. I think the other good thing coming out of this is the fact that they're getting someone else in to do the back-end stuff. And one, that's good for the phone stuff. I mean, sure, they're going to act like modern phone games and modern apps. But they're also, obviously, doing the same network stuff, which their consoles are going to be talking to. And I feel that's an area which Nintendo has struggled with. It's one that they've got better with over time, but they're still quite far behind the competition in terms of online interaction.
It's I again, the last console that they ever had that was either equally better than their competitors or on par was the GameCube, despite it finishing third overall in sales. But it was all blame and marketing on that one. I mean, the marketing and the fact that another horse had entered the race for that portion. But it's something they need to concentrate on, just to make. I mean, you have the games that are you're making. You have the games. It's just you need to sell the hardware.
Exactly. Yeah. And so if they can get another company in which specializes in like providing this sort of back end network stuff, which hasn't been Nintendo's strong point, I think that's going to be a boon to people who don't even bother to play these mobile games. So whether it's going to be on the Wii or the next system, I think they'll be reaping the benefits from this deal. So I think from all angles, I mean, if this was an inevitable thing, how Nintendo's gone about it has been pretty good.
It is.
Obviously, the real weight is going to be seeing what they actually do produce, which apparently is going to be later on this year. We'll be seeing the first fruits of the labor of this partnership.
It's, and again, there's so many answering questions with this, but I guess to segue into our last bit of this feature is, like, when I did hear about this mobile news, my thought to me was that, is this good or bad? Are we done? Is basically this, lights out for the Wii U, but we, in the midst of this, we got Nintendo decided to announce their, well, I'm not even sure if this is a handheld or console, but their next piece of hardware, codenamed the NX.
Exactly, yeah, which is pretty much all we know about it, really. The other thing, I guess, is that they said it's going to have a unique attribute to it. It's going to it's going to surprise you in some way. So it seems like Nintendo's being Nintendo yet again. And it's not going to be some sort of all-powerful box, par on par with the competition, and that's all it does. It's going to bring something new to the table as well, it seems. But yeah, just to roll back quickly, you said that we didn't know if it was a console or a handheld. This is true, and they specifically went out their way to call it a platform, I believe.
But I'm one to think that I'm not sure if it's necessarily going to be a hybrid.
Exactly.
But it's here's the thing that really kind of worried me a little bit is that Iwata stated when they mentioned the NX that this would be talked about at a later point. They said possibly E3 of 2016, which got me thinking, like, are we seeing this released in 2016, or is it just unveiled? Because I feel like that's just a short lifespan for the Wii U, given its sales records at the moment. I just feel like that's you're trying to start over and then probably dig another hole. It just seems like something that Sega did with the Saturn and Dreamcast. It's like you can't correct another problem with something like, I don't know, it just feels like it alienates the fan base too much. Just like, oh yeah, here's another console to buy.
Yeah, I think this E3 is going to be very telling of the future of the Wii U. Because we know of, lots of decent software coming out this year, but we know nothing beyond it at all. Not even a sliver. So if nothing gets announced which doesn't come out before Christmas this year at E3, I think we may need to worry about the Wii U. But yeah, it's a hard one to tell. I mean, I wouldn't be so surprised if Nintendo do have a system in place for holiday next year. It would be early, but all signs have pointed towards,
well,
Nintendo
to be fair,
may need to be thinking of something.
But to be fair, this time last year we were thinking, I think, the same thing for 2015, just a tad. I mean, we were thinking, like, aside from Zelda, what else are we getting in 2015? I mean, this is what we were thinking last year, and then, of course, Splatoon, all these other titles. I'm like, wow, because we thought the majority of titles that we had heard year before were like, oh, we're probably getting these soon. But it has to make me think that Iwata had a few sleepless nights during this when this mobile announcement with DNA was happening, because it was either, hey, do we announce that we have a new console in the making and just alienate Wii U users, or do we announce the mobile Wii, like mobile whatever, and give that thought that, oh, we're getting out of the hardware business?
I was going to say, yeah, I think it was a better of two evils here. So, because I think he was afraid, because, all the press have been, like, rubbing their hands together, afraid of saying, like, oh, Nintendo needs to go mobile or else they're going to die, basically. And I think they've been waiting to write the story Nintendo consoles are dead. Nintendo going mobile.
You knew there were quite a few just jaded journalists, like, you know, people that just they feel like they knew everything about that. They were waiting for that headline. It seemed like Nintendo goes mobile. They were just waiting, but it wasn't what they expected. Essentially, with the NX, it's just we fairly know about this, but just off the top of her head, I mean, what would you want out of this thing if it is a truly? I mean, well, this is the thing I'm trying to figure out, like, with this move with going mobile is, well, one that I mentioned earlier was I feel like this could maybe be the end of traditional Nintendo handhelds. Well, we have to also look back at, I mean, aside from me worrying about that, we have to remember that Nintendo, when they developed their handhelds and home consoles, they had two separate divisions.
Yes.
But last year, they combined both those divisions.
I feel that was some time ago now, actually.
Yeah, it was like about a year or two ago, I think.
So yeah, it's a tricky one, because yeah, I was one of the many people speculating that it would be some sort of hybrid scenario in some way. But yeah, I think the mobile announcement makes that less likely. I do think this is their next fairly traditional console they're talking about with the NX. What I personally would like to see, and it's quite a small and humble request, really. It's not that they, you know, go par on par with the competition in terms of power. It's that whatever kind of controller they settle on for this thing, I want to be able to have four of them, which are the same.
Yeah, it's...
I'm fed up with this asymmetrics multiplayer stuff. I want to have four Nintendo controllers, which are the bee's knees, essentially, and have some cool local multiplayer or just single player stuff with the same thing.
Yeah, while the fact that having different controlling options right now, we have my Wii U is nice, you know, with titles like Mario Kart and even Super Smash Brothers, it would just be nice to eliminate clutter just to have that, here's that singular controller you have, that's the one you need, that's the one you need for the console, that's it.
And personally, it sounds like a weird one, and it doesn't really sound like a very Nintendo thing to do, but I wouldn't mind some sort of gamepad mini. Where it looks like a pro controller, but it's got like a screen the size of one of the 3DSs somewhere in the middle, but somehow make that look good. And so you could have the sort of connectivity which the GameCube and GBA had, where you could have your Four Swords Adventures and your Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles. And I don't think it would be that expensive to make that controller nowadays. I think you could sell that for probably... $40 or 40 quid or something, or maybe a little bit more, but nothing too silly. I think there's a lot of smart things they could do with that sort of controller. But yeah, Nintendo used the word surprise, and they usually are pretty good when they're trying to do that. We've gone obviously from Wii remotes to gamepads and lots of weird and wonderful controllers beforehand. So yeah, I'm honestly not quite sure, but that sounds like a good vision in my head.
It's, part of me does want this thing to be on par with its competitors, just because that's where, I mean, I buy Nintendo consoles solely for their first-party offerings. Anything else that's either exclusive or third-party is just sprinkles to me. On my console experience. I get that from my other consoles, which, again, I'm having trouble trying to figure out which one I want next, because it comes down to exclusives, or do I really want to build my own PC? But that's a whole different story. And with this, though, it's just nice to see that they're still going to kind of be alive in this. They're not giving up on this hardware business, whatever, to see. I mean, no matter your opinion on the company or whatever, it's just I feel like a world without them, that they're not making tailor-made titles just for their hardware. A world without it would just seem very empty. It just loses that bit of charm. And yet people like will mention to me, well, you'll still get those offerings if they are going third-party, but... Here's my problem with that, is that the company itself likes to have their own control over their own titles. I feel like they would lose a bit of a control over what they want to make. And then, of course, there's that fear when you saw Sega become a third-party software developer, you think, like, wow, the first thought in my mind is, like, they're going to be the best third-party software developer maker out there. And look where we are 14 years later. It's they're laying off, and they're going probably away from just console making.
Ironically, they are kind of going mobile.
Yeah, and that's what worries me. But it again, them announcing just this, it does ease people back, but like off the ledge, it seems like, because I feel like, you know, when this company, if a company like Nintendo went away, it's not just the people who make the games that worry me, it's the people who write about them. You have all these dedicated Nintendo sites and Nintendo Life, Pure Nintendo, Nintendo Enthusiast, Nintendo Sushi, Nintendo Fever, all these little smaller and bigger sites out there that just rely on talking about it, and just the consoles. I feel like it would lose a little bit more if you just didn't have a console to talk about, and it was, well, again, obviously, the love of Nintendo is for the games, but also the experience range from the consoles.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. Without the console itself, a lot of that fan community would just kind of disperse, I imagine. Yeah, there still would be good games, but it's not quite the same. You don't have that central focus point to talk around. I think it would just kind of fade into the tech sites and the sites which cover mobile games in general. But yeah, I don't think you would have this kind of feverish community around Nintendo as it is today.
Which, I mean, I gravitate to. I mean, for a while, people would mention to me, it's like, well, you're very fanboyish about it. But yeah, at a young age, I was. But as I got older, I mean, like I do here on Nintendo, I learned to be critical of this company. It's just, for instance, it's like, I tell it straight up. I mean, as much as I love the Wii U console right now, it's just not selling to the point where it's like, obviously your predecessor, even though your predecessor had a few good games, but in essence, it wasn't my favorite Nintendo console. It was a great phenomenon / flash in a pan, that rose them back from the dead, almost, essentially. And it comes down to, again, just being critical of a company, whatever, but also having that love to it. I mean, you can't be, I mean, even if you're, like for me, being critical of whether this mobile decision is going to be good or bad, it's just, you have passion. That's one thing. It's like, even if you're critical, you just show passion for that type of thing. And but to end on it, it's just, it's going to be an interesting future where this company, where Nintendo is in the next, say, two and a half years after this.
Yeah, definitely. While you were talking about that, it did make me think of a few interesting things. I mean, I imagine it's also inevitable now that dedicated Nintendo sites will essentially be covering phone games in reviews and so on in the future.
Oh,
which is going to shake up the dynamics quite a bit. Like, how do you review a Nintendo like game for iPhone compared to a eShop game on the 3DS or a retail game as such? The same scoring system work? Are we going to have rage comments about why this certain iPhone game got a 8 out of 10 when, you know, their particular favorite console release got a 7.5? You know, I mean,
it's going to be a bit of a divide, but I think that's not too much of a divide. I mean, I think they'll be just judged on the same barometers as you see with the console experience. Yeah. It's they're going to control differently, and the experience of where it's being played is going to be, quite foreign to what we're used to.
So yeah, and I mean, it'll be also interesting to see how Nintendo themselves talk about like the separation, or if there will be one as such, between like how they go about talking about the next Wii U game or the next mobile game. Will the mobile games be coming up at E3, or will they have like a completely separate like Nintendo Mobile Direct type thing to just talk about those? That's going to be interesting to see how Nintendo handles it and the message between them and their consumers. I guess a lot of that's going to change as well. I guess they don't need to be as hands-on of that sort of thing on the mobile landscape, but that itself will be interesting to see how they tackle it. How are they going to let mobile users know that their games are now out there and they want them to check them out? There's a lot of interesting challenges for Nintendo to tackle on that side as well. I think, to wrap this up, though, we'll lean back onto the Nintendo NX. When the system does get revealed, looking like it will be next year's E3, whatever the release date for it will be.
I say 2017 if we do get some release dates for Wii U titles in 2016.
Yeah.
I just feel like 5 years is what I feel like is a good shelf life for a home console.
Certainly. But where I'm going with this question is, whenever the system does come out, what would you like the launch flagship game to be?
Well, it's obvious.
Oh, is it? Okay.
It's a Mario title. You need, there we go. It's, I mean, as cliche as that is, it's just like, I mean, you need not a new Super Mario Brothers title. I'm talking a full-fledged Galaxy successor or whatever yes. successor we're getting. But, I mean, a Zelda title? Well, no, but we'll get Zelda this year, but so that's out.
Well, so I mean, as cool as Zelda is, I'm not sure it makes it necessarily a great launch title. I'm not sure why, but it just feels more like a mid-to-end console-type game.
Yeah.
Like, once you're kind of familiar with the system and you're ready to jump into something big.
It worked for the Wii. It did. I mean, it worked, but even though I would say that the idea of that console, but also Wii Sports, helped it along the side, too, plus its price. But
actually, it might be Twilight Princess why I think Zelda doesn't make a particularly great launch title. Because it's the sort of thing, it was the first thing I played on the Wii. But yeah, after picking up at a midnight launch and being so excited about it, there was only so much Twilight Princess I could play before I went to the Chuck Wii Sports in or do something else.
Yeah, that's true. Is it too much to ask for a Metroid title? But I know it's...
That's the first thing I thought you were going to say after it was obvious.
I know.
I'm not sure. Actually, it might be time for that to make a great launch title. I think previously that was the same. But if Nintendo now said, here's the Nintendo NX... his new Metroid, which is coming alongside it day one. I think that would be a good message to send out.
Metroid Prime 3 Corruption was originally supposed to be a launch title for the Wii, but that got pushed back.
Yeah.
But no, that's what I'm looking at for that one. What about you?
Very good. I mean, yeah, the first thing I think of is Mario. But again, I mean, I've not played it yet. And I may be overdoing it, and I might regret saying this one, but something like Splatoon, I would like to see.
Oh, it's... Which, by the way, the embargo on that finally ended, so we... Not review embargo, but we're getting more and more details about this, and...
I was going to say, I haven't been personally holding back any details that I know of that game.
I'm not saying you are. I'm just saying, the more I look at this game, I mean, when I first saw it unveiled, I was like, okay, a nice new little online shooter on new IP... I was mildly interested, but the more I read about it, I'm like, this could be the next big thing for Nintendo as far as a multiplayer and single-player experience.
Yeah, I'll go all the way, then I'll say Splatoon 2 is the game I'd like to see launch the next system. and I think, just go bigger and better. Have an even bigger single-player component so you can get lost in that if that's more type of gamer you are. And it would be good to have, I think... It will feel like a next-generation Nintendo to pick up a launch title with a big online focus. And you could jump online with a big community. And hopefully we'll have, voice chat and so on. And we could test out, the new friend system and all that stuff. It'd be good to have a game which leans heavily on that side of things. Kind of like what I think of the modern Nintendo.
I agree.
Yeah, and I'm just personally really excited for the first game.
But it's all speculation now. That's all we can deal with. Just rumors, speculate, and, dream of what this future holds.
Yeah, and we've got obviously a lot more of that to come. Yeah, because we're not going to be hearing about it this E3, an E3 which I think we are going to get a lot of Nintendo news.
It makes you think, watch this be announced probably after this is posted or whatever, but... I feel like it's time for a Direct. We haven't had one. A Nintendo Direct.
Yeah, that's true. It's been a little while. And you would have thought this stuff would have come out of Direct, wouldn't you? Maybe. I mean, it's sort of big news as such, but yeah, I guess maybe it doesn't fit the Nintendo Direct structure.
You do feel like, though, if this they announced like that DNA, like that their console, but also this partnership mobile... That would just break servers, YouTube servers, to the point where like people would be panicking, and then until they realize, oh wait, no, we got a new hardware. Here it is, NX. It's like, oh.
That would be an interesting roller coaster if this was a live video announcement.
Oh, I would be.
I think that's a missed opportunity.
I would be fighting emotions like this is awesome, and like, what's this mean?
Especially if the Nintendo NX bit was like the last few seconds of the video. Where the rest of it has been all about, how we're going to make mobile games and it's our future, but not talking about anything else.
Yeah, but yeah. It's an interesting future, and plus we have, a possible Direct coming up. I don't know, we don't know when, I'm just going to say April, we need one. I'm throwing darts at random dates, and then we got E3, so fun times ahead.
Not long now. And, I think this is going to wrap up our discussion on the Nintendo Mobile and Nintendo NX. And so, as always, as we get to the end of the show, we do ask if you can send in your questions or comments to us at contact@infendo.com. And please do send in your questions. It would be good to do a question exclusive show, or, you know, just bring back a regular kind of question and answer feature into the show. It is really cool when we do get your questions and we can, you know, talk and discuss about them. I guess before we go, we can give out our contact details for Twitter and Miiverse. Harrison, would you like to start?
Again, you can actually ask us questions or send us on through Miiverse as well, or through Twitter. We're fine with that, not just email. But my Miiverse name is Hybrid Meta, all one word, HYBRIDMETA. And my Twitter handle is HMilfeld, all one word, HMILFELD, as in dog. So, contact me.
Awesome. And yeah, you're very much correct. Yeah, I mean, usually we do ask, you know, just through the emails, but yeah, but we're more than happy to get your questions through Twitter or even Miiverse. And to contact me on either, I have the same name on both, which is Luvsion, and that is spelled LEUVSION. And with that, thank you very much for listening. This has been... Oh.
Well, say we'll see you next time. I should be slapped in the groin for saying that now.
I'm not even going to finish off the my little end statement there. I'm just going to let it die there.
Die there. See everybody. That went pretty well.
Yeah, that was awesome.
I know, that was a good little short show. Hey, I gotta ask you. I've been going through right now because, you know, with Club Nintendo ending on the 31st.
Yes.
You get this, okay? I've been going through all my games to the point where I'm like, okay, I was at the point where I need to get to a platinum step because they haven't announced the platinum gift yet, so I'm assuming it's gonna be a digital. So they'll announce that like the 1st of April or something. From what I read. So I've been rating my roommate's 3DS titles.
is he aware of this?
He doesn't use Club Nintendo. He doesn't. He does not.
You avoided my question.
Yeah, he doesn't. No. This is how he found out, though. I was a bravely default Pokemon X. God, what else? Just other titles out of there, so I get like maybe 150 coins or something like that. And we were playing Smash Brothers on Wii U, like, one night, and I felt so guilty about it. And I was, like, we were sitting there drinking, and I was just, like, sweating a little bit, and I was a little bit, you know, loaded. And I just said, in the middle of the match, I'm like, I sprayed it out, and I was like, I took your Club Nintendo codes. I was like, what? It's like, I did it. He's like, what? And I just ran in his room. I was like, I need to get the platinum gift status, whatever. And I was, like, having trouble forming my words. And he's like, I don't care. It's like, I'm just glad you told me, because I wouldn't have made a difference. I don't even use that. But no, I'm actually just rebuying all my virtual console titles, like the ones that I got for my Wii on there. And, you know, that's 10 coins, I think, for post play. But
yeah.
I'm up to almost 1,100 coins.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and I'm still trying to figure out what title I want to buy on there. So, But
pretty cool. I mean, we don't get platinum stats over here, but recently, and it was quite recently, that Nintendo of Europe uploaded a bunch of digital games which they've never done before on the Stars catalog over here. And so I spent up all my remaining Stars, that is here, on a bunch of eShop games, which was pretty cool. I think they were pretty much all Virtual Console stuff for the Wii U, as is building up my collection.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that was cool, because I like digital stuff, and as much as I hear certain people complaining about it on, obviously, who have the American version of Club Nintendo, I would actually quite like that option previously, as opposed to just getting some random physical stuff I'm going to stick in a drawer.
I don't know, the Majora's Mask messenger bag, I'm probably thinking about getting, because my mindset's like, you know, I could get these titles anywhere digitally either way, but it's this stuff that's like,
yeah,
I wouldn't be able to, but, you know, it's a whole side point.